G'day, Melissa. G'day, everyone. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm good. For the 415th time, we suit up, we show up, we open the TYP door and we walk through with great gusto and enthusiasm. Today is a little bit different. We have no guest and no plan. And I thought, let's just sit down at a dedicated time and see what we talk about. So I don't know what the title of maybe today's show will be called Freestyle Sunday, because tomorrow's Sunday when it goes up, or I don't know what it'll be called, but sometimes planning is good. Sometimes, you know, the irony is so much of my life is unplanned when I'm doing my stuff. Like with our mentoring group, there's a level of planning, asterisk, there's a level. But 90% of it is just showing up and seeing where we go and talking about a few things. And when I do my gigs, or when we do, not a couple of weekends ago, I did 2 days of talking with an organization. And, you know, in that kind of, I don't know, it was really kind of more a day and a half, but there's probably 12 hours of talking. And I think I took 2 sheets of paper with me with a few dot points. And no PowerPoint and no, so it's very freestyle. But the irony is that we tend to go into a podcast with a plan. Let's talk about this. Let's explore that. Let's see how this resonates, because you have a guest, or even when we don't have a guest, it's just you and me or me and Tiff. You need to show up with a bit of a theme, because you don't want to be too, but you know, sometimes.
At least some form of topic, but we're just going to give it a shot today and see where it ends.
We'll see where we go. So I just wanted to tell you a funny story before we get underway, which could lead somewhere or nowhere. But so right now as we record this, it's 3 o'clock. I trained with the crab. He was once dead but is now alive. He was once lost but now is found, a.k.a. Lazarus, my training partner. For those of the three of you who don't know, died at the gym but made a comeback, which was good. Thankfully, because it's hard finding a new training partner and I'm lazy. Anyway, so I was training with him, he who was dead, and then Johnny, who was also dead but got revived after his accident, but he didn't die at the gym. So I'm the only one of the trio not to die and come back. So let's hope that's not imminent. Anyway, I was
how much I hate it when you say that, right?
I know. That's because you're superstitious and OCD and weird and... But it would be funny if I died after this. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, hilarious.
Well, you know, wow, imagine putting it up. Like, well, we knew it was a prophecy. So I arrived at the gym and remember Kelly, I think it's Kelly Smith, who did a show with us. Who's a follower and a listener. Shout out to you, Kel, because you're probably going to listen to this. She also trains, her and her lovely wife train at Snap, where I train. And... anyway, I pulled up and Kel is sitting in the car next to me.
Yeah.
I just pulled in. I looked over and, you know, my eyesight's not awesome anyway. And she's sitting in the car and like looking at her phone or something. And so I'm like, waving and she's like not paying attention. I'm like, oh, she's just clearly hesitating going into the gym. So I feel bad even saying this. You don't know how bad I feel. So anyway, I go, I'm just going to go around and I'm just going to knock on the window and give her a little bit of a, whoa, you know.
Oh,
Melissa, no, it's not what you think. It's worse, right? So I just get there and for some strange reason, you know, she's got her head over the phone. She's, I'm just going to open the door and go, are you training or not, right?
You idiot.
I know this is a bad plan. As it's coming out of my mouth, it's a bad plan, but I was in the moment. And I was moving like an urban ninja from the back of the car up to her door. And I know it's stupid. I know. Everyone's going.
Please tell me she like hit you or something.
Oh, I know. No. Just listen, right?
Okay.
So anyway, I reach over to the door. I grab the door to open up and go, come on, let's go and train, right? So I do that, but the door's locked. And then a woman who isn't Kelly looks up with absolute terror on her face,
a large,
muscular man who's trying to get into her car. And then, and then fucking Captain Intelligence goes, I just nearly fucking died. I you know, like all of this took place in 2 seconds where I realized it wasn't her. Thankfully, the door didn't open because that would have been a fucking nightmare. I saw the terror on this stranger's face. She had earphones in and the window shut. And then so I was trying to explain to the lady with earphones in and the window shut, the man at the door is actually not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm just thought you were someone else.
I was just trying
to
break
into
your
car. And by the way, not even someone I know really well, just someone I know that I'm like, come on, come in the gym and lift shit.
Yeah.
So I, as best as I could, mouthed, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And she seen the shock on my face and I kind of held up my both hands, right, like I'm holding up to you now. And I recoiled and I stepped back and I put my hand, I went, oh, fuck. And I went, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I kind of backed away from the vehicle, just, you know, like you would back away from an angry bear or something. I backed away from the vehicle, like humbly cowering and fucking skulked off to the gym. And then I got in the gym and Johnny was there, Johnny, yeah. Who, our friend. And I didn't tell him, right? And I felt so shit. I felt so bad because I hate bullies and I hate people who intimidate anyone, but especially women or kids. And the fact that I actually scared someone, albeit of course unintentionally, but it was kind of my own stupidity. Fucking hell. I felt so bad.
That poor
like she
lady.
Realized very quickly that I'd fucked up and she wasn't in danger and it's broad daylight right outside the gym. There's a million people around, right? But I'm like, oh. So then I went into the gym and John goes to me, are you all right? I go, yeah. I didn't want to tell him because I felt too bad.
Yeah.
And then 10 minutes later, he's like, where are you today? I'm like, oh, no, I'm here. And I totally wasn't there. So Johnny, apologies. And lady in the car park, my God. Sorry. And Kelly, why weren't you in that car selfishly?
That's so funny. So I think
I had one more, right, which is nothing that embarrassing, but I just felt really bad. And this was when I was really young and I was at the beach. I used to go down to Inverloch when I was a kid all the time. And one of the things that I loved doing was this sounds completely fucking weird now that I say it. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I loved being in the waves near the shore-ish and just floating in the waves, like, and just being tossed around a bit.
Yeah.
So not the dumped on the sand, but near the shore where there's lots of waves coming in and out and it's a bit, it's like a big spa. And I would just find this spot and I would hold my breath and I would just float like a starfish with my legs out and shit. And just like it was very therapeutic, right? What I didn't realize was from the beach, I look like a dead person. So there I am simulating a dead person unknowingly. I'm like, you know, 12. Right. And
probably not a good thing to do in water.
Well, I know. Again, you're gonna go, how fucking stupid are you? And my answer is I'm pretty stupid. And you're all thinking, I can't believe you are this dumb. Nah, believe it. So this man obviously sprinted from fucking somewhere to save the fuckwit who was drowning or looked dead already, spins me over, right? Like a mackerel on a chopping board. And I just saw the terror on his face. And then when he realized I was just a kid just fucking around in the water.
Yeah.
He was so angry. And then I'm like, and I apologized to him. He wasn't even my dad. And I didn't even, but he was so, and he told me off. And it was good he told me off because I never fucking did that again. Because I used to do it in the pool too. Like I used to love that feeling of weightlessness.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like I need a little flag sticking off my back that goes just floating, not drowning.
Wow. I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
Did he like strip off to run in and grab you, or like, was he already in bathers?
He was there to save my life. And by the way, you know, he's probably dead now, that dude, but he's probably 97 now, but anyway, so that was my morning. I did a workout. I've been relatively productive today, but do you know what I did too? This one, something I want to talk to you about, maybe because you don't really get involved, but I feel lately like I need to really regulate myself around how I manage my social media. Now, I'm not talking about my social media in terms of, you know, whiteboard lessons and, should I post this or that, or, you know, but just sometimes I have a thought or an idea and I literally can go down a cognitive rabbit hole for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just thinking about stuff that I shouldn't be thinking about, not because it's bad stuff, but I should be working on my thesis. That's mm-hmm. what I should be doing.
Yeah. Cause it's not going to help in any way.
Or I should be writing copy for, or words for the podcast I did yesterday, or the one I've got coming up today, or that thing that we're doing for that company, or that, you know, like there's shit that I should be doing, but I go down these rabbit holes. And I went, and this is what I did this morning. I also went shopping and I bought some oats. I don't know if you saw this, but I
did see this post.
Yes. Yeah. So I put up this post and it was, you know, I eat oats all the time, as a lot of people know. And I went and bought my oats, and my oats are $1.40 for 750 grams worth of oats, rolled oats. And then above that, like a meter and a half above that, or 2 meters, you know, close by, is Uncle Toby's. And I'm not hating on Uncle Toby's at all. That's just what it happened to be. They're probably a great company, probably have great stuff, but the prices were vastly different. Let's not go into the whole thing, but it was incredibly different. Like, times four, right? I'm like, yeah, but oats are oats. Like if it was, I mean, literally they're rolled oats. Both said Australian rolled oats. You know, so I'm like, it's not like, it's a recipe for something, or yeah, but this has got that in it and that. They're literally the same thing. One in plastic, one in cardboard. And so I just put up a comparison and said something like, and I put up two photos and I went, you know, make sure you read the label, blah, 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 blah. And then people start to jump on and go, oh, that's interesting. Thanks for that. And some people are like, oh, well, you know, I know they are different. I'm like, well, they're literally the same thing. They're rolled oats. There's no recipe. Like there's not, but anyway, maybe they are, I don't know. And so people are going back. And then one person wrote something like that big companies are forcing some businesses to sell stuff at cheap prices, and these low cost products are destroying businesses and blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, I just put up a thing on, hey, if you're going to buy oats, think about this. These are cheaper. That's literally my intention. And then all of a sudden it's like this political thing and I'm like, oh God, do I respond? So I write a response and then I go to post it and I'm like, nah, because then I'll say that and then this person will come back and say that. And then all of a sudden now I'm in some argument with someone that I don't want to be in over oats. And blah, it's so fucking ridiculous. And I wrote, and I thought, you know, for me, it's just the reality that there are, I didn't know this, I had to look it up, but there are 3.24 million Australians, think about that, 3.24 million Australians who live below the poverty line.
Wow.
So what they care is, wow, these are $1.40, these are $8.50 or whatever it is. Like it was drastically different it wasn't that much, but it was a lot, right? And that's my whole point. I'm not saying so, like, by the way, buy whatever you want, ignore me, you know, but it is funny how you open a door. Sometimes before I post something, I think, okay, how could someone get offended or bothered by this? Yes. And I'll rewrite it to make it, not because I think it's offensive, but I think someone will find a way to get fucked off about this. And sometimes I write what I think is the perfect post in that, right, my intentions are good. This is just good information. This, there's no way that anyone can get bothered by this. And almost every time I'm wrong. And I go, oh, there it is. That's how they could.
Yeah, they'll just find a way. And that's so interesting because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that your post was also talking about or leading towards how interesting it is from a marketing point of view that you could put up two things that are essentially the same product and charge completely different prices for them based on the packaging that it's in. I think that was more the point. And also, like what you said before, for a lot of people, or often the argument is that eating healthy is too expensive. And so that was also what you were, I'm guessing, leaning towards in that post, as opposed to we're trying to, you know, get rid of small brands.
Like
we're trying to put them out of business.
I think I have
interesting.
I think I have SMF.
SMF?
Yes.
What's SMF?
Thank you. Fucking hell. Social media fatigue.
Ah, yep.
I just sometimes I go, oh, come on, I can't be bothered. You know, like I just want to share what I think is a positive message. If you don't like my message, that's okay. But you don't, we don't have to agree.
And it is definitely the territory for people that just want to either cause a fight or tension or some form of banter or get attention in some way or just basically get offside with somebody. That it's the territory for them.
But it's also the energy with which it's written. Like if somebody goes to me, hey, Craig, I get what you're saying. Yeah, that is a big difference. But look, have you thought about this? I would almost certainly go, it wasn't what I had in mind, but you raise a valid point. Thanks for sharing. But when they're like, you know, low-cost products or whatever they call them, home brands are evil, which is what the person said, and his or her last line was, enjoy your $1.40 oats. I'm like, well, I'm not murdering people. You know, I'm not burning down houses, champ. I'm talking about oats. So fucking take a chill pill. And when you try to find who that person is, everything is anonymous.
Yeah.
Like there's no anything. And you're like, come on, bro. I don't know. Anyway,
so often the case, but.
That's okay. So I'll keep doing what I do. And as my my supervisor first time around at uni, Dr. Paul Callery said to me, if you don't want to upset anyone, then say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, and stand for nothing.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, it's like if you have a bit of a profile or you have a few followers or you have an opinion, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What about you? What's happening on planet you?
Speaking of social posts, I did happen to see last night, and this always makes me laugh because sometimes you can post something that's quite profound and then other times you can put up things that probably maybe doesn't deserve as much attention.
Are you talking about me now?
I'm talking about anyone? You. No, I'm talking about, well, in general, but just based on yours. Last night I saw you put up a photo, an old photo of you in a suit. And oh my goodness, last time I checked, the amount of comments that was getting, it just makes me laugh because probably the amount of time that went into posting that photo versus, you know, coming up with a insightful whiteboard post, writing it, taking the photo, editing it, making sure it's all, you know, got good copy and everything like that. It just makes me laugh.
I think people are just shocked that I own a suit, and I do own a suit. And you know what was funny is that came up on my timeline from 5 years ago when I emceed a friend of mine's Dale's wedding. And, you know, we all know that I only put on suits under absolute duress. and I have not put on a suit for over 2 years.
Yeah.
Fucking loving every second of the non-suit wearing experience. And then what else was interesting was I went, you know, this was that one time when I wore a suit, the end. Like it just came on my timeline and I went, well, for all those people who think that I only own black singlets and T-shirts and you know, cargos, here you go, right? And I didn't really even think of it. I posted it and then went back to trying to be productive. And then, yeah, I'm like you, I came back and it was fucking chaos. And but because I've done a few presentations for Max's,
yeah,
you know, the fun, or not the fundraiser, the gala dinners at the end of the, you know, their body transformation things, and I have to speak in front, you know, and I have to wear, because it's formal, it's black tie, it's at the MCG usually. So I reluctantly put on a suit. And a few people went, nah, that's bullshit. Here you are. And then these people started posting pictures of myself and them.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just scroll down. There's me and a bunch of people just standing beside me in a suit. And a few of them like, that looks like the same suit. I'm like, sure is. It was the same suit 10 years ago.
There's only one suit.
It'll be the same suit in 5 years and probably 10, because it fits and I wear it once every 2 years. And I'm not going to buy another one. The best That's I'll do funny. Is I'll buy a couple of new shirts.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, if it works, why fix something that's not broken?
I'm definitely not a fashionista, that's for sure. But, you know, sometimes I think sometimes I've been thinking about this lately about the things that we focus on, like what we pay attention to. And the impact that I was talking to somebody the other day, we had a little, not a coaching session, but a pseudo coaching session. And we were talking about this idea of feeding your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, you're always feeding your mind because you're exposing your mind to whatever, to social media, to television, to radio, to podcasts, to conversations, to books, to, you know, to the world around you. So we're always being stimulated. We've all always got this inbound kind of messaging. And I think, you know, for me, I've over the last 4 weeks, I hate to say it, but it's just true. And I've kind of voiced this a little bit to you. I've become less effective and I've become less structured and more like I'm still okay. I haven't rolled the car at this stage, but I'm just all over the shop. Like I'm easily distracted because something will come on, it'll take my attention, and then I'll come out of that an hour later.
Yeah.
I think I really need to get back to planning and structuring my day, which I stopped doing a little bit in terms of, like, I still get up and say to myself, what do I need to do today? What's the best use of my time and energy? I still do that. But, and I'll still go, all right, well, I'm going to do just PhD between 9 and midday. And then at 9:13, something will chime on my phone and then I'm gone till 9:47.
Yeah, yep.
Right. So, you know, there's this, and because it is so easy to be distracted and it is so easy to get out of the awareness of where is my mind in this moment? What am I paying attention to? What am I focusing on? And am I focusing on and paying attention to the things that I need to today based on what I need to get done today or to learn today or to address today or to take care of or to do or undo, you know? I think for all of us that that ongoing challenge to stay present and focused on, not obsessed with and not totally preoccupied with, but focused on the thing that we say that we want to do, because the truth is that so many of us start things that we don't follow through on while totally intending in the beginning to follow through.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we're so good at getting distracted. We're so good at hitting the pause button. We're so good at rationalizing not doing it. So
do you think,
I think I need to get back on track.
I was just going to say, this could be totally off the mark, but do you think maybe you might be in need of a day or two off?
Well, I had a day off last Sunday, so 7 days ago, and geez, it was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I watched two movies, and I think I've mentioned that on the show. Did you feel better
on Monday?
Well, I did feel better on Monday, and I ate for the first time in nearly a year three meals in a day, and yeah. I didn't give a fuck. I mean, I didn't eat any junk, but I just ate a proper breakfast, a proper lunch, which I don't, and a proper dinner, and because my obsessive head around food and my body and performance, and I think I get scared, and this people are going to laugh at this, but I get scared if I open the food door to certain food behaviors that tomorrow I'll open it again.
Right.
And then
right.
the next day I'll open it again because something yep. shifted.
Yep.
And then next Friday I'll open it wider, and then it's 3 months down the track and I'm a long way from where I actually want to be or yeah. from where I was.
Yeah.
And it's so I know that sounds, it's really funny because when you've got eating issues, and I know it seems trite compared to people with real problems, and I fully acknowledge it's bullshit. I fully acknowledge that it's not in the context of real problems, it's not a big deal. But on a personal level, when you have food issues and food is your drug, and you can, you know, I could eat, you know, say I get some from the Thai joint down the road, I get chicken cashew stir fry with a bit of basmati rice, and it's yeah. pretty clean, and it's I eat that and it's awesome.
Yeah.
I could go back and get another one and eat that an hour later, and I could go back and get another one and eat that an hour later.
Yeah.
Like my body just goes, sure, I'll eat that. Yeah. no worries.
What else is there?
Yeah. Or actually, I think it's my mind, not my body. But yeah, I could eat X or I could eat 3X and I'm okay with either.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm just.
But I think that's really interesting. Like what you just said, yes, it's only food. But I know that I've found that when you. Like if I start having something that I haven't had for a while, I've been eating quite clean, and all of a sudden I have something that I don't normally eat, and then my body for the next few days, yes, A, craves some more of something. So all of a sudden the feeling that I don't normally get, I'm starting to be craving that food or something similar.
Yeah.
And my whole body, like physiologically, I'm more exhausted, or I'm just out of whack. Like I think it's more than just, yeah, I've had that piece of food. It's the effect that, and the ongoing effect for the next few days that it has on my body and on my mind and on me just being productive and me feeling good. And then that can either keep spiraling because I, you know, either keep having stuff that I wouldn't normally have. And all of a sudden a week or two down the track, I'm feeling a lot crappier than what I was.
Do you ever struggle now? Like as in, do you ever do shit that, because you never talk to me about your food. Like the only time we ever talk about this shit, honestly, everybody, is on the podcast. Because like the funny thing is, and I think people wonder about our relationship in terms of, you know, so, you know, how long have you known Melissa, and do you guys hang out and da, da, da. And I'm like, well, honestly, we've known each other for a decade or so, but 99% of the time when we're on the phone, yeah, we're talking about business, which probably we care about each other.
Yeah.
You know, of course, but in terms of you going, I had a bad morning this morning. I got up and you never, ever talk about yourself and ever to me. And you never, and I'm not saying you need to, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm a fucking chatty Cathy. I'll tell you anything. I'll tell you, you ring me when I'm having a poo. I tell you. And
yes, you will.
And then everyone gets it. Oh, you can't say that. All right, because I'm the only person that shits, apparently, and in Australia. And you can poo, you just can't talk about it. There's one of those fucking psychological kind of brain busters. Anyway. And then just sidetracking. Remember, I did that video on how to have a good poo, and like 40,000.
That is precisely my point before. Like, you could do a post about the meaning of life versus a post about you having a good poo, and it will that will the one about the poo will go nuts. The one about the meaning of life, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it'll just float on by.
And this is what frustrates me, and I get it because I'm silly and I like silliness. But I like philosophy and psychology as much.
Yeah.
You know, but I love being silly. But yeah, and then like we have our audiences divided on that. Like some people will like this chat because it's just you and I talking and it's just organic, you know, riffing. Mm-hmm. Other people will go, "Where's the fucking lesson though?
Yeah.
Teach me something.
What's point
I want
three?
To learn something that I can apply tomorrow. This is bullshit. Stop talking about your bullshit." It doesn't matter what you do. Someone's going to like it. Someone's not. But I feel like with you that you are like even when I go, "How's your morning been?" This is what you do. You go, "Good, good, good." I go, "All right."
That's all right. Like
there's never any information. I go, "Everything all right?" You're like, "Yep, good, good." I'm like, "Is anything else?" No, all good. Yep. I'm like, "Okay, I'll talk then."
Well, because it's generally pretty boring. Like, it is. It's pretty repetitive and pretty boring.
What? And my life's not.
Well, yours is a hell of a lot more interesting.
What's interesting about sitting in a cubicle in a university reading fucking academic journals?
Well, when you walk up to a car and scare somebody, that's a hell of a lot more interesting. Yeah,
that was funny. That was, I feel both amused. The further away I get from that, the funnier it'll be. But right now I still feel quite bad about it. Do you know what I think with you too? I've never told you this. I'm going to tell you something on the podcast I've never mentioned.
Yeah.
I think your energy and your emotions fluctuate with the lunar cycles.
I concur.
Because there's been a few times.
Yep.
When you've been a little cray cray and I check
a few.
I check, it's full moonish.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't surprise because had you said that to me, I don't know, 5-10 years ago, I would have said, "You sound a little cray cray." But back when I worked in addiction treatment, we used to find it all the time. That was when, I don't know whether I'm allowed to say this, but that was when often
people would act out.
Significant incidents would occur, and whenever we tracked it back, it tended to be whenever there was a full moon. Just kind of happens, and apparently that's kind of well known.
Well, it is well known. My first experience with that, because I thought, I mean, I'd heard that, but I thought, oh, that's just like, how do people don't even know where the fucking moon is? So
yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that's not true. And about a decade ago, or maybe we just started working together. Do you remember when, I won't say where, but I did a gig with a special school.
Yes.
Great. Kids are great. Met some of the kids. Teachers, awesome. Like, beautiful environment. Great. And I was working, doing a whole day with the teachers and support staff. And, you know, it was a really good experience. And anyway, I got there early. And I met with the principal, who was lovely, and she was just showing me around. She was showing me that, you know, we walked into, you know, the whole stuff, all the facilities and resources and classrooms. And she was telling me about the, you know, the education model and how they manage different needs of different kids with different disabilities and, you know, challenges. And it was awesome. And I remember saying to her, "So do you love it? Is it hard? Is it easy? Is it fun? I go, are the kids for the most part, are they, you know, pretty good?" And she goes, "Yeah, look," she goes, "yeah, except," she goes, "well, except when it's a full moon, well, then it's, you know, like crazy town or something," she said, no disrespect. And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." You know, and she goes, "No, really." And I go, "Yeah." "What?" I go, and I'm now, this is the principal, and she's absolutely dead serious. Mm-hmm. And I go, "Are you telling me that the kids, their behavior changes?" And she goes, oh, like amazingly, like not all, but a lot of them, like quite a big percentage, kind of they become almost unmanageable for a period of time or much harder work.
Yep.
I don't know how that works. I don't know. Maybe we need someone on. Do you know how that works?
Do you know how that works? But I also, what else I found interesting was, so once, because as I say, I was totally unaware of that until somebody brought it to my attention. And then what contributed moving forwards is then when you knew a full moon was coming, it was like, okay, are we prepared? But then it makes me think, well, what part of how were we then influencing the degree to which the full moon affected things? Because then it's you know, you're conscious of it, you're aware of it. So how are we then kind of, I guess, psyching ourselves up for the fact that things are possibly, you know, going to get worse or going to intensify? Because that also fascinates me. How does our thinking then affect the actual outcome?
What do you mean? You're thinking about you knowing personally that it's, or your expectation of a group that you're working with.
Yeah. For example, in addiction treatment. So then we started to know, okay, well, there's a full moon coming. And we knew that in the past, historically.
So by the way, which a lot of people don't know, you worked in an addiction treatment facility before us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I was saying before, once somebody had brought that to my attention of what can kind of happen or what tends to happen when there's a full moon, then it was part of our expectation as well of, oh, okay, well, there's a full moon coming. Do we need to prep more or expect something? And then does that expectation actually lead to something or contribute to the situation being worse because we're now aware of it?
I don't think so. Not unless you're walking around with them talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, not unless you're going and discussing it with, you know, the clients and patients. No.
Okay.
Like, I don't think the staff talking in up this end of the building are going to affect, you know, the program attendees up the other end of the building. But I think on a personal level, it might. Like, if you know that you always struggle around that time and you're mindful that, oh, fuck, it's a full moon on Friday night.
Mm.
For me, the giveaway was when I saw you on the roof of your car howling at the moon. I went, look, I'm no expert, but I think, I don't know, something. But do you, because you don't lose your shit, right? But sometimes, not often, but sometimes you are more sensitive than others.
Yep.
Sometimes I can say something to you and you're like, yep, most of the time. Yeah, nah, right, good. But then every now and then, I reckon there's a little bit of a link.
But it's funny you say that because I've been thinking about that recently because I've been trying to pay a little bit more, I guess, attention to maybe the energy that I'm bringing because I'm conscious that sometimes my energy is just crap and I need to work on that because it means that I'm kind of crappy to be like, I'm not great to be around if my energy isn't great. So I've been trying to focus on improving that. But what I have found is that I'm really fluctuating with that because when I'm not consciously thinking about doing that, I find that I'm dropping off or feeling more of a dip. Now, I don't know if there's anything to that or just something that I'm noticing, but it definitely tends to be fluctuating a lot more. So maybe I need to go back and look at when there's a full moon and see if it's correlating with that. It is really, really interesting.
I reckon there's a bunch of variables around it, but it's something, you know, like if I wasn't doing all the stuff I'm doing, I would probably do a semi-deep dive for a day or two to kind of try and get my head around what's going on. Maybe somebody will send us an email with, now don't, if your second cousin's next door neighbor reads the astrology charts, don't contact us. But if you know someone who's like a guru, like, I mean, a straight up authority on this stuff, yeah, shoot us an email.
And now I've got another variable to throw in with that. As you know, a week ago, I tried coffee for the first time in my life.
So now, yeah, go on.
Yeah, what were you going to say?
No, go on.
So I cannot stand, I still cannot stand the smell or the taste of coffee. It is disgusting. I have steered clear of it all my life, but I was a little under the weather and so I couldn't smell or taste anything. And I thought it would be the perfect time to try coffee because everybody's always going on about the buzz and, you know, oh, I need a coffee and don't speak to me before having a coffee and everything like that. And there's always been this little thing in the back of my mind going, I wonder if it's really worth all the hype or if that's just kind of what people build it up to because that's what they used to. So, yes, I did try coffee for the first time and I must admit there's a little something to it. And it took me 3 days, right, 3 days to be craving it. So I still hate the smell. I still hate the taste. But 3 days I was craving something that I still can't stand, but I was craving it.
That's so fucking interesting. Mm. And did you go, nervous system, meet coffee. Coffee, my nervous system.
Pretty much. Mm. I was like, suck it up. Just keep drinking it. We're trying this as an experiment. That's... Which for my body is really, I guess weird because I've never had tea, coffee, alcohol, nothing.
Your body
nothing.
Is like it's... virginal. Like your body has so few toxins ever near it.
Yep. So I don't know whether that's kind of come into play because it's so foreign in that I obviously don't have any form of kind of stimulant or anything like that. But yeah, 3 days it took.
So what made you do it though? I mean, other than curiosity around, were you feeling a bit flat and a bit energy? Did you want to open the nootropic door, bro?
I think it was just the curiosity. As I say, like so often I hear people go, oh, you know, I just need a coffee or don't talk to me until I've had a coffee or, you know, my day will get better once I've had a coffee, all of that. It was just the fascination or I guess the intrigue. And because I couldn't smell or taste anything, that's what made me think, you know what, I'm going to make the best of this situation and give it a shot.
I can imagine you going in. Did you even know what to ask for on day one? Did you go in and go, can I have a coffee? And they went, what sort? And you went, fuck, I don't know. What kind are there?
Pretty much. Somebody a while back had recommended to get like a mocha or something because it might disguise the taste a bit. But I went in and I had that conversation with the girl. I was like, look, here's the thing. Never had coffee. Can't stand it. But I want to try it. Can you give me something that has coffee in it but doesn't taste like coffee?
So what did she give you?
And then she was asking me, you know, do you want one shot or two shots? Or I'm like, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. Let's start weak and we'll go stronger.
So and yeah, did you have one this morning?
I have had one this morning. I've had one every day since.
Yeah. You're straight up addict. You're like, and you chose it. You consciously chose it.
Yeah. And I don't normally have dairy either. So I'm trying to wean off the dairy side of things. I'd like to try and turn it into like an almond something or other, but we'll see how things go.
Pursuant to this conversation, Your Honor, I was near the an aisle or two away from the oats, the aforementioned oats, and interestingly there was a lady. I went round to get some almond milk, which I have on my breakfast. And she was down, very low down, just scouring the bottom shelf. And like, I was like 2 feet away.
Yeah.
You know, grabbing some stuff. And I looked down at her. She looked up at me. And I went, all the good stuff's down there, isn't it? You know, and because often the, you know, the bargains are down there, like same stuff, different price at you. Anyway, we spoke a bit. And she goes, oh, I can't find my milk. I go, what are you looking for? And she goes, oat milk. And I go, oat milk. She goes, yeah. And I said, but there's some here. Nah, not that one. And, oh, there's some here. Nah, not that one. It's got to be the, I can't remember the name, but I get the same brand in my almond milk. So it's the same brand, but oat milk. I go, what do you do with that? She goes, coffee. I go, really? Because I've had almond milk coffee. For me, I know some people like it. For me, it's dog shit.
Okay.
Horrible.
Okay.
And I've had a few others. So I'm thinking of giving oat milk a go. I'll report in to the masses. I can't. I've only had one coffee today. My typical is three, but I've cut back the last few days, and I'm like you. I feel like, well, you don't drink much milk, but I feel like my body's telling me to move away from lactose, which I don't really want to do, but I feel like I have to do a little bit. So I need to get my calcium from somewhere else. But also what I did today, which I think I'm going to try another experiment. So a lot of people know I've been kind of about nearly a year now, no lunch. And last night I did the Daily Talk Show live in Abbotsford with Tommy and Josh.
Little side note, that was very good.
Oh, thanks.
That was I was going to tune in just to check it out for a couple of minutes and ended up tuning in for about 40, 45 minutes. It was very well done. Anyway, sorry, back to your story.
Thank you. Well, they are up to their 1,000th show yesterday, and they did a 1,000-minute long show. Now, that is commitment because what is that? That is like 16 and a half hours or something. And
it was so well produced.
Their production compared to our production is like PhD versus bloody.
This is TV quality.
Kindergarten. Yeah, well, their stuff, I mean, they have a whole production crew. So the actual production quality is it's like TV. They just switch in and out of promos and videos and, yeah.
I felt like a stalker, though, because even towards the end, like because they've got cameras everywhere, there was even a camera on you reversing your car out of the studio, like that they had someone playing mini golf and you reversing your car. I seriously felt like I was stalking. I'm stalking you and them in the corner, but it was very, very well done, I must admit.
It was weird because they said message us when you're like almost there, and I was driving down the road. I messaged them and this electric garage door comes up. I drive in. And as I drive in, completely not ready because I'm going to drive in, get on my shit, shut the door, walk up the stairs. I drive in. There's a cameraman there filming me driving in.
Yeah.
And then I get out of the car and I'm not even thinking about anything. And he gives me a microphone. And then the boys from upstairs are asking me questions as I'm literally getting my shit out of the car. And now I'm live on the show all around the world. But you know who we spoke to, just digressing, we spoke to that guy, Matt Diavella.
Yeah.
You know, the people who, minimalist.
Yep.
He made that, the minimalist doco. He's going to come on. We're going to get him on.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
the awesome. Minimalist movement. And he's kind of, he does some.
He's great.
His name's, I think it's Matt Diavella, just Matt Avella. Have a look at his videos on YouTube, folks. He's really, really brilliant. But it's, you know, it's interesting the way that everything is developing now in terms of production of things. Yeah. And, you know, you can have like the boys have got a relatively high-end facility and resources. And to watch them, you know, yesterday when they're doing their 1,000-minute show, as an experience watching on your computer, it's almost TV-like without all of the ads. But, you know, it's just been it's been a really interesting evolution in the last year or two, even with our show. I heard yesterday that there's 1.9 million podcasts in the world. And I reckon 2 years ago it was less than a million. Yeah. Maybe even 18 months ago it was less than a million. And so, you know, there's this ever-changing landscape of, you know, options for people to be able to get an audience, reach an audience, connect with people. But and I'm not suggesting on any level that we're the high watermark for anything, but there's so much stuff out there that it's so difficult to filter through the shit to try to get to the good stuff, you know, be that video, be that podcast, be that, you know, whatever, even like the overwhelm on social media in general.
But I think with a lot of that stuff, as we said a couple of weeks ago, a lot of them will actually just naturally filter out. Like it's just a natural progression of people will end up giving up overtime because it's not, you know, taking off how they had expected it would, and the level of commitment that it's going to require to actually take it to the next level is not something that they're willing to take on, which is totally understandable. But I personally think it will drop off in the next 12 to 18 months.
Well, we had a meeting the other day with
Alice
from Hushka. Hushka host our show. We're on their platform. I don't even know what that means, but I tell people, Melissa knows, ask her. We're on their platform. Don't know what that means. But she was telling us that a lot of people basically register a podcast and then don't do anything.
Yeah. Or they do one season of 10 episodes and then decide it's not for them.
So that, like, there's a lot of, even though there's 1.9 million registered or whatever, I don't know if that's the right word, but podcasts, like, there's a relatively big percentage of them that do next to nothing or nothing.
Yeah.
So the amount of, and that's the other thing too. Sure. Like, what's great about podcasting is the barriers to entry are really low, in that anyone with a phone or a computer and some basic skills can, you don't even need a microphone because you've got a microphone built into your phone and your computer. It's better if you've got an external mic, but even a pretty good external mic's $150-ish. You know, you can get underway really easily, but then what are you going to say every time?
Yeah.
You know, who are you going to talk to? How do you make this interesting? How do you connect with an audience? How do you build a brand? How do you, you know, it's not to say you shouldn't do it, but I think, like, people are more enamored with the idea of saying, I've got a podcast, than building something that's amazing, you know, getting awesome guests, having awesome conversations, talking about fascinating shit, and being able to deliver and not that we've done it well all the time either, but being able to deliver a relatively high-end listening experience for people to go, hey, you should listen to XYZ, and they tell their friends about it as well. Yeah. So I want to jump around a little bit because we're nearly finished, I know. I wanted to ask you, with your eating, and I don't want to go down the, do you have a, because we're both weird, we've acknowledged this, but do you have a set kind of formula for eating, or are you a bit more instinctive? Do you just get up and when you're hungry, you eat, or do you get up and you go, well, I generally eat about now and I'm eating about now, or how does it work for you?
Yeah, it's a bit more instinctive. But in saying that, that's kind of turned into a bit of a routine. Like, generally, on average, my first kind of time that I eat would be maybe 10, 11 a.m. And then I'm normally finished, unless I'm out for dinner or something like that, I'm normally finished eating by 6 p.m. That's just kind of what works really well for my body, in that I sleep better, I recover better from my sleep. All of that is just something that I've learned over time works so well. And what I found actually the other day can be really interesting is, so we were up late Monday nights with mentoring, and my body was like, oh, I'm really hungry. Maybe I should have something more before I go to bed, because it was midnight. And yet when I woke up in the morning, I was full. So I didn't have anything. I didn't end up having anything. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to let it be. I'm okay. I just think I'm hungry. I've eaten.
Well, you weren't full. You just didn't have an appetite.
Yeah, but I didn't have, like, I went to bed feeling really hungry and I woke up with no hunger whatsoever. So I think it was more kind of like a craving or a let's keep me awake kind of thing, as opposed to I actually need food. I actually need nutrition.
I don't know. There's a fair few nights where I get out of bed and go and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I go to bed and I can hear, and I've had a small dinner and it was 5 hours ago and it's now 11:30 and I'm hungry, I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm going to eat. So I'll get up and I'll eat my breakfast at 11:30 at night.
Yeah. I think sometimes it just depends though. That's you being, you listening to your body and knowing the difference between, am I craving something? Am I just wanting a little something, something before I go to bed? Or does my body actually need something right now?
All right. So I want to share a few little announcements or ask you a few things that I haven't cleared up. you know, I was going to ring you before we went live and ask you about these things, but I went, fuck it, I'll just ask her on air and she'll tell me off later. One.
Yes.
Are we allowed to tell people about the U Project Forum?
Why not?
Well, we're starting because we get a lot of people talking to us, sending us emails about things, feedback, ideas. So we're going to create a little online space for people to do that. There's nothing tricky about this. There's no hooks, catches, agendas. It's not a commercial thing at all. It's really just a place in inverted commas, where we're going to post all of the episodes or the details about all of the episodes on there. And people can, if they want, you know, like we had a really interesting episode the other day with Patrick McCown, who's the dude who's the nose-breathing world authority dude, which sounds real boring, but it's unfucking believably interesting and fascinating. And I've had 30, 40 people contact me or message me or talk to me about that dude. And so I think sometimes, and have you tried it and how did you go? So I think sometimes it's good to have a forum. A forum is essentially, I used to have one when I had my blog, which is basically just a space where people can go and talk about the stuff that they heard or what they're trying or what's working, all the stuff that they kind of learn or hear on the podcast. So that'll be called the U Project. I don't know what it'll be called.
The U Project Podcast, and it'll be a private Facebook group. So people can just hit the join button. In fact, it'll be a Facebook group. So sorry, it won't be a private Facebook group. It'll be a Facebook group in that anybody can join and, just hit the join group button.
Awesome. Awesome. And you can unjoin whenever you want. So there's that. The other thing I was going to ask is, are we definitely doing a camp this year? I feel like we said yes, didn't we?
We are doing a camp.
Right.
Why not? And the details aren't available yet on the website, but they'll be available in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
We are going to give it a shot and we're going to take all the precautions that we can and let's just...
It might just be you, me and a couple of koalas. That's all right. We'll see how we go.
We'll have fun.
Well, and that's in September, isn't it?
It is in September. I think, give me a second. I think it's like the 10th to the 12th. Let me just check that with the calendar.
And it's at the same joint?
It is.
And people think, oh, this is just me doing a bad ad. I actually don't know these things. This is me actually asking. It's at Mount Eliza.
Camp Mount Young, Mount Eliza, 10th to the 12th of September. Details will be available and bookings will become available in the coming weeks on your website, but we'll let you know both on the podcast, on socials, in that new, the U Project podcast group. We'll post it in all of the above so that people are aware when those details are live. But that's something to look forward to get excited about. It is in Melbourne for those that are interstate.
And this is an actual plug. So on May 5th, kicking off on May 5th, which is a Wednesday night, we've got the Excellent Series. So that is the people that you tell us that you love the most. This is based on... We've chosen these people based on the most positive feedback that we've got in the last 6 months. To speak, the way that it works is it's four Wednesday nights between 8 and 9:30, 10-ish, depends. Officially about an hour and a half, could be a bit longer, could be a tiny bit less, but give or take, generally it's a bit longer. So Dr. Dinesh Palepana, who's that awesome man who is a quadriplegic, but also a doctor and a lawyer and was the Queensland Australian of the Year. Such a fucking inspiration. So clever, so gorgeous. And you know what? I'm going to say something that I shouldn't say. I'm going to say it. This is how awesome he is. So he knows that this is a commercial thing that we do and we're going to run it anyway. If we have 10 people or 1,000 people, it runs anyway. But we pay all of our speakers and we don't pay them a fortune, but we pay them enough. It's for sitting at home for an hour or 90 minutes and talking. It's pretty good dough. It's not bad. And Dinesh sent me a message. I'd love to come. It's an honor. Thank you so much. We sent him an invite and he said, I won't take any money, but I would love to do it. And you can give that money to a charity. And I'm like, I want to fucking hug you. He is just like... I've interacted with him about 10 times and it's like, I think I'm not a bad human, but when I when I'm talking to him, I feel terrible. I feel like I'm such a bad person. So Dr. Dinesh Palepana, Lisa Tamati, who's the biohacker, the ultra endurance runner from New Zealand, who basically saved her mum's life using oxygen therapy. She, the way that she thinks and communicates and inspires is fucking awesome. Dr. Amy Silver, who's a psych that we had on with that awesome British accent, she really resonated strongly with people, and she's just got a lot of insight into human behavior, which is amazing. And also our last speaker is Ashok Gupta, who is the dude from England who we've had on a couple of times, who not all of you, but a lot of you just love. And he is kind of that intersection of science and spirituality and philosophy. And he's just a really, really good person. So he is, all of them are inspirational. All of them are really good at what they do. Interestingly, I didn't even realize this till later, Melissa. Do you notice anything about all four of these that they all have in common?
No.
None of them are Aussies. Not one of them is from Australia. And we didn't do that at all intentionally. But what it shows you is how international our program is now.
Yeah.
There's not one Aussie.
I had not even thought about that.
So Ashok's from, you know, the UK. So is Dr. Amy. Or Dinesh. Oh, no, Dinesh is an Aussie. I think he was born here maybe. But his folks are all... No, didn't he was born
overseas. He was born overseas. And yeah, when he was young, he moved here.
He came here when he was six or something. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah. Anyway, so we are a multicultural podcast and we fucking love it. All right, everyone. I hope that wasn't too horrible. Melissa, do you need to be the boss and tell everyone anything?
I was just going to say, for anybody that is interested in the excellent series, the details are now live on the website. So craigharper.net. If you're interested, it's on the events page.
Thank you, everyone. Return to your normal duties and carry on. At ease. At ease.